It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, good evening, everybody. We're going to take a look at BlackRock, Ukraine, Zelensky, Starmer, the parasitic corporate entities in alliance with the oligarchs to carve up the country and profiteer from it, as well as how they steal land from farmers in the UK. So we've got a lot to go through. I've got about 25 minutes before we go over to Kate, part two, with the gangs, the Birmingham GG. It's going to be a dark one there. But so I started out as a stockbroker in 1991 in America. And there's a principle called diversification, whereby instead of putting all your money into one kind of investment, one kind of share stock, you can spread your investments out among a number of different shares, companies. So BlackRock was founded in 1988, initially as an enterprise risk management and fixed income institutional asset manager. So they started just 3 years before I started in the stock market. So basically, you could put so much money, give it to BlackRock, and they will spread that out for you across a number of investments. In theory, that is a simplification of what they do. But they've grown so huge that they are now able to influence world governments. BlackRock was founded in 88 by Larry Fink, Robert S. Capito, Susan Wagner, Barbara Novick, Ben Golub, Hugh Fratner, Ralph Schlotstein, and Keith Anderson to provide institutional clients of asset management services from a risk management perspective. And then it has just grown to become this absolute monster with assets under management. Let me see. Revenue. This is in the millions. So the revenue, 407. 20 billion, trillions. Wow. All right. Anyway, so basically it started out as an investment company, but now allegedly they're up to all kinds of skullduggery and they have involvement in Ukraine. So let's look at the news stories that come out as they got increasingly involved in Ukraine. So there was an announcement in 2023. Zelensky, BlackRock announced new investment initiative to rebuild Ukraine. Out of the kindness of their hearts. They will coordinate investment in rebuilding Ukraine's economy, Kyiv announced. Following a meeting between Zelensky and BlackRock CEO Larry Fink, the government confirmed that the Wall Street titan agreed to coordinate the efforts of all potential investors and participants in the reconstruction of our country. As a result of the agreement, BlackRock will channel capital into multiple sectors of the Eastern European country's economy. Since this initial meeting, discussing the transfer of public and private investments into Kyiv, the two sides have been working on a comprehensive project advising the government on how to structure the nation's reconstruction funds. So remember in the beginning, they were just taking money from investors, spreading it across a portfolio of assets, diversification. Now they're advising the government of Ukraine on how to structure the nation's reconstruction funds. In November, the Ukrainian Ministry of Economy and BlackRock Financial Markets Advisory signed a memorandum confirming the plan. BlackRock will advise the MOE on establishing a roadmap for for the investment framework's implementation, including identifying design choices for the envisioned setup, structure, mandate, and governance. So they've got 8 trillion, or they did have 8 trillion under management in 2023. Wow. So this agreement came after Zelensky visited Washington to meet with Biden, and the House approved a $45 billion aid package for Ukraine. Aid. Don't forget, everyone's an Orwellian inversion. Aid equals theft. In his speech, Zelensky thanked the American people for the money, I'm sure he did, calling it an investment rather than charity. Your money is not charity. It's an investment in the global security and democracy that we handle in the most responsible way. Yeah, right. So, while speaking at the Ukrainian Infrastructure Forum in London, the Deputy Minister of Economy predicted that Ukraine would eventually become one of the best in the world in terms of opportunities for investors following the war. We must act quickly. And in this case, the experience and expertise of the private sector in project management should come to the rescue. So 10 months after the war commenced, an increasing number of international organizations and global corporations announced new investments in Ukraine. You think if there's war in a country, they'd be running the other way. But no, war equals opportunity. Problem, reaction, solution. So in 2023, Nestle announced $43 million investment to launch a production facility in Western Ukraine. Quote, this is an important move for Nestle, taking in a very challenging time for the country, said Nestle's CEO for Southeastern Europe. In November, the International Finance Corporation, the private investment arm of the World Bank, launched a $2 billion package to support the Ukrainian private sector. This investment is a testament to a new generation of visionary entrepreneurs in Ukraine, leading high-potential businesses that will help Ukraine's economy enhance its resilience, said IFC's managing director. Together with partners, we aim to inject much-needed capital into Ukraine's IT sector, bolstering innovation, creating jobs, and encouraging investors to return to the market despite the ongoing war. And then Andrew and Nicola Forrest provided $500 million to the Ukrainian Green Growth Initiative through the Tataran Group. This fund, expected to grow to $100 billion, was established to partner with global investors to accelerate Ukraine's reconstruction efforts and rebuild its primary infrastructure. These initiatives have received support from Biden, UN Special Envoy Michael Bloomberg, former British PM Boris Johnson, and Organization for Economic Cooperation Development Secretary General Matthias Cormann. Ukraine can enter a golden era. By business backing Ukraine, we're sending a message to the world. I want every government to know that as soon as hostilities cease, global business will be ready to help rebuild immediately. So let me just have a look at the chat. Let me see what people are saying in the chat about this before I continue. Russell, BlackRock has been called the world's largest shadow bank by The Economist and Basler Zeitung. LC. BlackRock is involved in some shady business. BlackRock is the largest money management firm in the world, more than 10 trillion assets under management presently. Dottie, BlackRock is evil as they come. They're trying to buy WNC properties and are being condemned. They got a permit to evacuate 1 week before the flood happened, lithium and quartz deposits in WNC. And there's news today that they're buying some of the Panama Canal. It's just come out. As a side message, we have Lindy Lee on. She's amazing. She's a political strategist. Thanks, Anne. Let's hook me up with Lindy Lee, please. Yes, Kate, part two, grooming gangs coming up in 15 minutes. Why is Starmer calling for Palestine ceasefire but backing Ukraine war? So he's calling for a Palestine ceasefire to appease the people who support Palestine. But he has no... It's completely meaningless. Whatever comes out of his mouth is completely meaningless. He's backing Ukraine for the reasons we are getting into presently. So war is opportunity. They've got over $250 billion in Russian assets frozen. And when they say they're going to give aid to Ukraine, what that means is they're going to carve up the country, bring in all of the cronies who've got huge contracts, just like they did with Halliburton, with Iraq, based on the weapons of mass destruction lie. And now Starmer's echoing that with the coalition of the willing, exact same words that Bush used. So basically, the taxpayers' money is a feeding trough that the politicians have power over. So whoever gets in power can hand that money out to their cronies, but they've got to have reasons to do it. And if there's a war, it's one of the biggest shakedowns on the taxpayers they can possibly launch. Because when there's a war, they can justify handing over trillions were spent on the war on terror, bombing the poorest countries in the world. Just mass murder. That money, they say they're giving aid or they're supporting a war. A lot of it gets handed over to the defense contractors. And then the defense contractors give it back to the politicians in the form of political contributions. So you may be wondering why both political parties support war, or prior to Trump, that is. Because they want to get these political contributions from the defense contractors. It's just one big money go round. Why have all of the parties in the past supported private prisons? Why have they supported Big Pharma? The political contributions to the private prisons are in the tens of millions a year. I can't even imagine what they are from Big Pharma. It's got to be mind-boggling. So they need a crisis, a war, a pandemic, whatever it is, to justify handing billions, if not trillions, over to their cronies in the form of government contracts. And then their cronies kick back with political contributions. And that's what keeps these people in power. Now, the Europeans have got over $250 billion Russian assets frozen since it all kicked off in Ukraine. And they are slobbering over that money right now, offering aid to Ukraine, paid for by the frozen Russian assets. That's one of the scams that they're running right now. But with BlackRock, it gets a hell of a lot more sinister. And we're going to get to that because I've only got 10 minutes left. In my opinion, who's more corrupt, Russia, Ukraine, or both? Corruption is part of human nature, Tushel. But in this case, it's just so blatant what Keir Starmer's doing. If you go on his Twitter, he's just announced, because he announced he's sending another $2 billion for missiles for Ukraine a couple of days ago. Signed a 100-year deal with them last month. $3 billion a year he's going to put in for the next 10 or so years. He's just kiss-arsing Zelensky all over the place. Because it's so blatant. If you go on Keir Starmer's Twitter, today he's announced he's going to invest £1.5 billion, almost $2 billion, in England. And if you read the small print, you know that's not going to happen. It's just PR. He can't even afford to protect UK borders, but he's more concerned about Ukraine and Ukraine's borders. While people like me have moved away from London to a safer part of the country, it's completely out of control. He's letting this country just go. It's just rotting away. Rotting away by this corrupt bureaucrat who's got no Charisma, nothing. You look at his face, a worm has got more expression on Starmer's face than Starmer's got. He's just a lackey for these corporations and the globalists who are part of the woke agenda. So Andrew Gold recently interviewed Liz Truss, and he said to me, she was former prime minister. People may not have heard of it. It was so short-lived. She was so irrelevant. But he said to me, what would you ask her? And I said I would ask her about the vested interests, about the lobbyists, how that is used to control government policy around the world. Anyway, her response, this is from a former prime minister, is that elite technocrats, let me just double check what I sent this to Andrew Gold after I watched it. Elite technocrats have co-opted government policy. Yeah, she said a group of elite technocrats have co-opted the government, governments around the world, including the UK government. That's from a former prime minister, folks. And they say we're crazy, saying there are people operating in the shadows, trying to control governments to run the world. She said to him, a group of elite technocrats have co-opted the government. And they are the technocrats backed by Soros. He's part of the mix. They've got the woke agenda that Trump is reversing. Starmer's a dangerous man offering up our troops to join the Ukrainian war. That's it. So he's saying it's all about supporting freedom. I care about the people of Ukraine. If he cared about the people of Ukraine, he would be going for a peace deal right now. What war has not ended with a peace deal, with a negotiation? Russia has got unlimited resources to keep fighting, and they will keep fighting as long as Starmer and his evil cabal prop Zelensky up with more and more weapons. But because they're getting kickbacks on all of the weapons sold, given to Ukraine, it's a huge, just massive shakedown that he's doing. All right, I'm going to go to the next BlackRock story here. So this is I started out talking about how BlackRock got involved in Ukraine. And then that was in 2023. And then a year later, another news story came out. Ukraine Reconstruction Bank. Whoops, let me just refresh this. Got too many pop-ups on it. Ukraine Reconstruction Bank eyes near $1 billion in committed capital. This is in Davos. Ukraine Reconstruction Bank being set up by Kyiv with help from BlackRock and JP Morgan Chase now has at least $500 million in committed capital and could be ready to launch in 5 to 6 months or close to $1 billion. We have at least 500 million commitments, close to a billion, blah, blah, blah. Refers to capital like investments, debt, and guarantees in which the investor accepts higher risk for greater social impact. Kyiv engaged BlackRock and JP Morgan last year to help set up the funds. Of around 280 projects that applied to the fund so far, BlackRock and JP Morgan saw between 25 and 30 as ones that could be seriously considered. The fund could be ready for action within the year. We want to be ready to deploy with at least soft commitments from donor countries. Risk would be needed to rush down to OECD levels for BlackRock assets consisting of pension funds to be mobilized. That money cannot be invested in very high risk enterprises. All right, so I want to look next at how the land is being stolen in Ukraine. I've only got 5 minutes left before we bring in. Let's get a picture of Kier up there, shall we, while I do this bit. Don't want to make you sick. Share screen. Where is he? There he is. International Investment Summit. That's where he meets his paymasters. All right, so I'll try and get through this fast. Right, so... So Zelensky was backed by oligarchs to get into power and the CIA. What they do then is they come up with schemes to take the land from the people. That's one of the first things they do. So the total amount of land controlled by oligarchs, corrupt individuals, and agribusinesses is over 9 million hectares, which is now 28% of Ukraine's arable land. Largest landholders are oligarchs, foreign interests, European, North American, sovereign fund of Saudi Arabia, pension funds, foundations, investments, private equity. Several agribusinesses controlled by oligarchs have opened up to Western banks and investment funds, including BNP, Vanguard, who now control part of their shares. Most of the large landholders are substantially indebted to Western funds and institutions. So, financing Ukraine is tied to a drastic structural adjustment program that has required austerity and privatization measures, including the creation of a land market for the sale of agricultural land. Zelensky put the land reform into law in 2020 against the will of the public, the mass majority of the public, who feared it would exacerbate corruption and reinforce control by big interests. This is exactly what's happened. Large landholders are securing massive financing from Western institutions, but Ukrainian farmers, essential for domestic food supply, have received virtually no support. Yes, so much for helping the locals, eh? With land market in place, the difference of treatment is leading to more land consolidation by large agribusinesses. So the whole country's getting chopped up and given to the large corporations. All right, so the war has been at the center stage of foreign policy and media reports since 2022. Little attention, however, has been given to who controls the agricultural land, because Ukraine was known as the breadbasket of Europe. With 33 million hectares of arable land, Ukraine has large swathes of fertile farmland, some of the largest in the world. So misguided privatization and corrupt governance since the early 1990s have concentrated lands in the oligarch class, 4.3 million hectares, etc. And prominent investors, including Vanguard, BNP, Goldman Sachs, these guys are all in there now, taking control of the land. And the international financing that is directly... So the international financing that Keir Starmer is doing is directly benefiting oligarchs who are facing charges of fraud and corruption, foreign firms, and firms associated as shareholders or creditors. Ukrainian farmers are operating with limited amounts of land and financing, and they've been reduced to being on the verge of poverty. These farmers are receiving no support from the government. The Partial Credit Guarantee Fund established by the World Bank to support small farmers is only 5 million, a negligible amount compared to the billions being given to the large agribusinesses. They're totally getting shafted, folks. Western countries and institutions provided massive military and economic assistance, which became Ukraine became the top recipient of US foreign aid, marking the first time since the Marshall Plan that a European country holds that top spot. The US, by 2022 December, had given $113 billion to Ukraine, including $65 billion of military aid, and USAID, $58 billion. Wow. All right, you guys get the picture. I could go on a lot more about that, but we've got Kate coming in next for Grooming Gang Survivor Part 2. And stay tuned, folks. I'm going to end this one and go right over to Kate. And it's going to be a really hard-hitting story. So get ready. And if you've got questions, that would be great as well. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Take care.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.